Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of Outside the Box. I'm Joe and I'm here today with
Charlie,
Leo
and Balthazar.
We've got a special episode coming up for you today as we discuss our football predictions from last week as well as a new segment. But first, let's start with the F1 where a brilliant race took place in Sochi. So Leo, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so sure. Hamilton getting his 100th Grand Prix victory. That's the most of all time and an absolutely incredible achievement. The question is, do you think that will ever happen again?
Verstappen, I'd say he's the main candidate to get 100 now. Or maybe someone like Russell gets going in Mercedes and gets win after win.
Yeah, but if you look at it, in the next year we have the new regulations coming in, making it so all teams have a much, much less budget to make it a lot more even across the board. So having absolute domination like Mercedes and Hamilton have had may not be possible in a few years. So it's definitely an interesting, maybe last of an era, almost.
I mean, I think it's going to be still quite interesting because the skill in Verstappen is far beyond just the car. It's the driver as well. And I think Verstappen's put up a fight so strong with Hamilton at such a young age. I think even with a slightly slower car, with all the regulations, he's still going to drive phenomenally.
Hamilton also still has a few seasons left in him, so he could still
go up and up
and get that record to an untouchable level.
I think it's like, do you reckon he'll move from Mercedes or just stay in Mercedes the end of his career?
I mean, if I was him, I'd probably get one more world championship and then maybe move to a lesser team and try and make them win. Because, you know, he's won it 8 times. He doesn't. There's no want or desire to win it really anymore. He's got the most. He's beaten Schumacher. And there's a sort of almost satisfaction of making a bad team good, you know?
It'll be quite cool to see. I don't know, such a big name racing for like Williams or something.
Exactly, yeah. Cool.
That'd be quite funny.
So yes, back to the Russian Grand Prix. It's a race. It started off in dry conditions and ended under quite a bit of heavy rain. Previously in the week, I mean, the track was fully underwater, so the track marshals and officials did a great job of getting it ready for the Grand Prix. We had the day before practice called off for wet weather. So yeah, we're happy to have the race because we've had a few called off this year. For various reasons.
Yeah, but Leo, who do you think was the driver of the day in your opinion?
I think it has to be Verstappen. I mean, going from 20th to 2nd, that is just
phenomenal.
Incredible. Like, not a lot of drivers can say that they've done that. And, you know, it just shows his pure talent. There's only a few drivers that have done this. But it's definitely, you know, to get through that many cars, you have to have some sort of skill,
yeah,
you know.
And I mean, I heard the Red Bull team speaking on the radio saying, like, Max, we want to try and get you at least 5th, because I think they were slightly aiming for slightly lower, and I mean, they overachieved, which is amazing, and it just shows the quality that Max has. And even with the regulations, he's still going to be a phenomenal driver.
Yeah, and you know, good result for Carlos Sainz as well, taking 3rd place.
Is he the best driver at Ferrari? Is he better than Leclerc?
I mean, that's a difficult one. It's been a weird year for Ferrari. Their car's either been really competitive or
just not there.
Not that competitive at all. And it's looking at the tracks. I mean, it's much better on a short circuit, like Monaco and Zandvoort, which just shows the Ferrari power unit this year is just not it. But yeah, no, it's a good race for him. Definitely should be proud of that, and some good points as them for them helping with that battle with McLaren.
Bottas, 11 places as well, he made up.
Yeah, so he did a great race.
Even after he's announced he's leaving, he's still racing really well for Mercedes.
Yeah, these guys, all these drivers are very competitive people, so they want to keep winning for their team, even if they're not going to be with them for much longer.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's quite a few drivers swapped out their engine this week, Verstappen being one, which is why he started 20th. Bottas taking one as well, and I believe it was Leclerc.
Yeah.
Do you think that Bottas's engine change was done this week in order to hold back Verstappen?
Possibly. That is an interesting take on it. Definitely could do, but I mean, a lot of them will do it this week, and then some of them will do it next week. So really, it's just a choice of 2 weeks.
Yeah, but do you think they like put it this week because they saw Verstappen was behind and they wanted to kind of hold him off as much as possible?
Possibly, it could be to do with that, especially, and then do Lewis next week. But yeah, maybe we'll see.
I think the main talking point from the Grand Prix, though, has to be Lando on the last lap spinning out and losing his place. His first win, I'm pretty sure, was I don't know, a mile away?
Yeah, it was at his fingertips, quite literally. It's heartbreak for him, really. Yeah. Like, after the race, he was crying his eyes out, and I don't blame him. He still did manage to finish the race in a seventh after getting a quick stop, but yeah.
At least some points there for him.
Exactly, at least some points, but he did really well to get on pole. Yeah. Absolute flyer of a lap, and just shows his skill as well and why, you know, he deserves to be in this F1 grid. Like, yeah. He's a very good driver.
Will he ever go to a Red Bull or Mercedes, do you think, in the future?
I think he definitely will. Maybe because, I don't know, McLaren are definitely on the way up. They've had a few down seasons from, you know, around 2014 towards, you know, 2019. That period was not good for them. They weren't winning races. They were a very midfield team, and they were competing with people like Renault. And that's not really what McLaren has been in the past. If we've got, you know, drivers like Senna racing for them, winning world championships. So, you know, maybe he will stay with them because they can definitely be a good team in the future. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Speaking of qualifying, do you think that Perez, the Red Bull, just made a stop too early, too late? And if they made that stop, he would have got better pole, better starting position on the grid?
You know, it's a hard one. There's so many different strategies you can do. And maybe they just took the one wrong one this week. So, you know, it's very hard to say they did X wrong. There's so many variables that they can't control.
Mm. Who do you reckon the best young driver is of all of them?
Norris.
I think...
Russell,
I
obviously.
Think... Yeah, it's a difficult
Norris
one because I don't think you can include...
He's in a better car.
Nah. Norris is better.
He's better.
Norris is better.
I mean, Norris has been able to prove it. I think this next season we will see if Russell is up there, because I mean, he's finally in a competitive car.
Definitely.
And I mean, you also can't like count out Charles Leclerc. He's quite young as well.
Yeah, no, Charles Leclerc is very young still. I think you can't really include Max Verstappen in this debate because he is in a top car.
Yeah. And I mean, he is technically still one of the youngsters. He's not that young.
He definitely is.
How old is he? Like 24?
24, I think.
24, 23.
I'd put Gasly up there.
Gasly, he hasn't...
On and off.
Wasn't anything special. You know, he got that move up to Red Bull. He had a golden opportunity.
Yeah.
A very few drivers get. And he just didn't... You know, there's a reason they swapped him out mid-season. It wasn't going great.
They switched him up for Alex Albon, didn't he?
Yes, yeah, Alex Albon.
Yeah.
Back in Williams now.
Yeah, back at Williams for next year. Good to see him back on the grid because he's definitely a good driver. He was just moved up again too prematurely. Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, so next we have the football. And Joe, would you like to start off with some of the prediction news?
So last week we had our predictions and... well, some of us didn't do too good, Leo. How many points have we got there?
I think
not a lot.
I think that's a big zero, right?
Nil point for Leo. Leo. But Charlie and Balthazar both only getting one as well. It was nothing special this week. Very low scores. I got two, Balthazar and Charlie got one, and Leo unfortunately was zero. So I'll quickly explain how the scoring works for the predictions, though. So guessing the correct scoreline gets you 3 points. If you get the correct scoreline, but another team wins on penalties, you get 2 points. But then if you just guess who wins, you get 1 point. So no one actually guessed a correct scoreline in any of the six fixtures. So, yeah.
That's
good stuff,
not great. Lad.
Now, we move on to this week, though, and the games which will feature this week are Liverpool-Man City, Man United-Everton, Atletico Madrid-Barcelona, Wolfsburg-München-Gladbach, Atalanta-AC Milan, and Rennes-PSG. So, let's start off with Liverpool-Man City, and Leo, would you like to give us the prediction?
I think I put Man City down to win this one. Man City to win this one. Definitely be a good game. You've got two strong sides there. Man City showing their class, beating Chelsea last week. A bit of an upsetting one for me there, but yeah. And Liverpool, you know, they're a very strong team. They've shown their class in the past few seasons. Less so last season, but I don't know. Definitely be a good game, but I think Man City just have the edge on this one.
Charlie?
Yeah, I put City winning again, but like Liverpool just drew to Brentford. Not very good team, but they've played well this season. But yeah, City will be on high spirits after beating Chelsea, one of the top teams in England. So yeah, I think City will win this.
Balthazar?
I think it's going to be a draw 1-1 because I think City still have a tough game against PSG coming up. And if that doesn't go to plan, I think they'll be quite demoralised.
Yeah,
So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting one. I think it's going to be a 1-1. They're both have an amazing striking force in from the front. So I think it's they're going to both score a goal.
Well, I've been different. I've gone Liverpool 2, City 1. I don't see City winning this game. Liverpool still unbeaten in the league.
They drew to Brentford.
But Brentford, I mean, City haven't played Brentford yet.
True.
So we'll see how they do against Brentford, then compare. But Liverpool, they just look like a solid force, and I reckon a good win in the Champions League this week could help. Because City facing PSG, Chelsea then PSG, two probably the hardest games that you could get, and then going straight to Liverpool after that. It's going to surely put something on the players. They'll lose some fitness or something. And Liverpool will be fully fit, I reckon, because they don't have the hardest game this week. So, yeah, I've gone 2-1 Liverpool. Next up, Man United Everton. I've gone 1-0 Man United. Cristiano Ronaldo will score. Okay. We said that he would last week, but...
Did he touch the ball? Oh, that's a question. Literally a ghost on the pitch.
So, Leo, I see you've gone for a draw.
1-1. I think that might be a typo, but yeah, I think Man U have this one. Definitely, they've got a strong side this year. They've got an amazing attacking team. Ronaldo and Fernandes. They just got such incredible up front. I think they will go to work on Everton and definitely get the win here. Probably around maybe 2-1. I think Everton could come back with a goal. Maybe second half sort of style. But yeah, definitely Man U to win.
Okay, Charlie.
Oh, yeah, I've put in a last minute change there. I'm going 2-0. Everton. I don't know. Everton looked good. Who did they beat in their last game?
Norwich.
Big win. But yeah, I mean, I hope they do win. I don't want Man U to win.
No one ever wants Man U to win, do they?
Yeah.
Now, Biza?
I think it's going to be a 1-1 because I think Man U have struggled recently. They lost against Villa, didn't they?
Bruno Fernandes
missed the penalty.
They hate the manager, I'm telling you. It's conspiracy theories going on.
Whether it was thrown on purpose or if he actually missed it, they still lost to Aston Villa. They should be bagging at least 2 or 3 goals against them. I think 1-1.
Yeah, seen it all over TikTok, the conspiracy theories about hating
Solskjaer.
Oh, loads at the wheel.
Ronaldo's actually an inside man. So.
Ronaldo to come play a manager. Atletico Barca. I've gone 1-1. I think most of you guys have said Atletico to win, but I don't see that happening. I think Barca, they are still unbeaten in the league. And Atletico, they just lost to Alaves, who are...
Exactly.
And that was exactly. And that was their first win of the season against Atletico. And Barca also, yet again, I'm going back to the Champions League. They have the easiest group, I'd say, out of Atletico, between them and Atletico. They've had their hard game against Bayern. Now they'll have a bit more of an easy ride. And then expect the youngsters like Ansu Fati to get a goal, maybe. But I think Atletico can still hold on and it will be a draw. So 1-0 is what I'm going to go for. Leo.
I've got Atletico to win this one. They showed their form last year in winning the league. And Barca... They're not what they used to be, to say the least. They're definitely in a stage or beginning a stage of rebuilding. So I definitely think Atletico should win this one. 2-1, possibly, I'm thinking. But yeah, definitely Atletico to win.
And Charlie?
Well, I was a bit unsure of this one because obviously Barca are still rebuilding, but also actually a good team still. Like, even though they've lost Messi and a couple of good players, they brought in Depay and Aguero, who's injured now, but I think Atletico, they're struggling with Griezmann and Suarez and Felix, but yeah, I think they will win, but
yeah. Balthazar?
I've gone with a 2-0 to Atletico, because I think, as you said, I know Barca are rebuilding, except I don't think they're on the same level that they can compete with these like top teams in the leagues anymore, and you saw how they played against Bayern, 3-0. They couldn't keep the ball to save their lives.
But then in La Liga, there aren't any teams like Bayern, I'd say.
Yeah, but then you have Atletico and Real. I think the only two who can kind of compare. And I think the moment it comes up to a good team, I don't think they're going to do too well. So I've gone with the 2-0 to Atletico.
Fair enough. Next up, Wolfsburg, Mönchengladbach. I mean, not the most well-known teams, we'll say, but 1-0. Wolfsburg actually are top of the Bundesliga, as I think. Bizarre, can you confirm that?
I don't think they are anymore, because I think they lost their last match or drew. But yeah, I think first at the moment is Bayern, second is Leverkusen.
Oh, where's Dortmund?
I think they're third or fourth, if I'm not wrong. They're fourth, I think, and then Wolfsburg are third.
Right, well, I've gone for a draw. Obviously, Mönchengladbach have actually, they beat Dortmund in their last match, a match we predicted, well, we all predicted Dortmund to win. Mönchengladbach came out as the winners, and I think it'll be a close game. Mönchengladbach, as we said last week, they have players that can put in that final ball or hit that final goal.
Yeah.
But then Wolfsburg, you can't argue with them as well, in the Champions League as well this year. So that could play a, that could be a factor as well. Tiredness from playing a midweek game, but we'll see. Charlie?
Yeah, I put 1-0 Wolfsburg. I'm predicting Workhorst to score.
Yeah.
He's a class player, and yeah. I think Mönchengladbach and the good side, but I'm hoping Wolfsburg will win. I do like Wolfsburg.
Leo?
I've got Mönchengladbach to win this one. They've just come off of beating Dortmund, and I quite like the name. So I'm going to be honest, I think that's the main reason I chose them. But yeah, I think they should hopefully win this one.
It is quite a cool name. Balthazar?
I think Wolfsburg are not going to win because, I mean, Mönchengladbach, they haven't had a great season so far. They had one good game against Dortmund, except otherwise they've been absolutely flunking in the league. And I think, I mean, they've lost against Union Berlin. They've lost against every single person they've played against, pretty much. So I think Wolfsburg is going to take it 2-1.
AC Milan, Atalanta is our next game as we move over to Italy. And I have gone 2-0 AC Milan, Olivier Giroud to get 2. A header and a bicycle kick, I'm telling you.
Of course, and the scorpion kick in there as well.
We'll see. He will have some sort of acrobatic goal, I'm telling you. But 2-0, I think it'll be comfortable for AC Milan. Atalanta, I mean, losing Papu Gomez last year was quite a big loss for them. Of course, they still have Ilicic there, who can put in a shift. Gerson's, who was very good at the Euros for Germany.
Yeah.
But
put in a shift.
He did put in a very big shift. But I think AC Milan have just got a too strong here, so.
Yeah, I think we all put them to win, so.
Yeah. Should we quickly skip over these ones? Yeah. So Leo went 1-0 AC Milan. Charlie went 2-0 AC Milan. And Balthazar went 2-1 AC Milan. And I'm guessing that Atalanta goal will be scored by Gerson's Bisa.
No, I was going to say Ilicic.
Ilicic.
I think he's a top-class striker.
On his day, he can be. He is about 34 years old now, I believe, so.
I mean, he still puts in a shift.
Yeah.
True.
And
I mean, Ronaldo's 35 or something.
Last but not least, Rennes versus PSG, and I think it's going to be a demolition derby. 5-1 PSG is what I've put. I don't actually think Messi will score. I think it'll be Mbappe, Neymar, and Ander Herrera or someone like that will get a goal.
Or Di Maria or something.
Yeah, so I've gone 5-1 PSG, and then the rest of you have all gone 3-0. Do you want to explain that, guys?
Wait, do we all put the exact same
score? Yeah, we all put the exact same score.
I don't know, maybe someone should change that.
I think it's just, I mean, it's going to...
just going to be pretty strong. Yeah. I mean, you can't lie, look at their front three.
Yeah, saying that, they drew against Bruges, who they really should be beating about 4-1. Or 4-0.
Those games happen to any top team. You know, they're always going to have a couple of
blips. That's true. That's a very good point. Yeah.
To be unbeaten is something that's been done very rarely. I mean, Arsenal did it once.
Of course, you did.
Not a lot of other teams have done it. You know, it's something.
Bayern did it, I think, crazy. 2 seasons ago.
No, okay, and I think once that front three, like, properly fully meshes, that is just going to be unstoppable. So I think they should beat the Rennes this weekend.
I think the prediction, though, for PSG Rennes is Lionel Messi going to get his first PSG goal. Really? I've already said no, so we'll quickly go around Leo.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because I don't think so.
Yes or
something
no.
about it.
Yes or no?
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 Yes. Yes? Yeah. And Charlie?
I reckon he will.
Mm.
He wants it. He wants it.
Yeah. He wants it, but will he get it?
Yeah.
That's the question. And now we're moving on to the new segment.
Yay.
Player to watch. So I have assigned each of the guys a league and they have picked a player who they think will perform this weekend. And it won't just be players like Lukaku, Fati, Benzema. It's not going to be players like that. You're going to actually have lesser known players and it'll be good.
Like more youngsters kind
more,
of thing.
More youngsters, I guess so.
So it doesn't Leo, have to be youngsters, though.
No, it doesn't have to, but yeah. So Leo.
All right, never mind.
Leo.
So looking at the Premier League, we've got Aston Villa's Ezri Konsa. I hope I said that right. So he's definitely a young star. He's a 6 foot tall titan with, and I quote, immense potential. And a lot of pundits have definitely excited to see him working with Dean Smith. And I definitely think he can be a good young defender.
Yeah. I mean, the partnership with Tyrone Mings as well, it's forming now. Last season, had him in my fantasy team, got me a lot of points. So you picked a very good player here, Leo. Villa have quite a hard game this weekend, I think.
Who are they playing? Because Arsenal is someone quite good.
Yeah, they are playing Tottenham. But then, of course, Tottenham, not the best team. So should be an easy win for Villa.
Yeah. So, Charlie, you got given La Liga.
Yeah, I put Youssef N. Nesri from Sevilla. Spanish team, of course. But yeah, he's a centre forward. He's not exactly a youngster. How old is he? He's like 26, I think, 24. Something like that. But yeah, he's played obviously well so far. But in his first Champions League game this year, he got a double yellow card, which is a bit dumb.
That's not good.
Yeah, no. So then Champions League, won a prince and won a...
One goal,
yeah, I think it is, and one red card, obviously. And then he's played six appearances for La Liga, 3 goals and then assists. So good so far, but yeah, hopefully he continues his performance.
Strongly linked to Arsenal as well. The Aubameyang replacement Mikel Arteta wants. I don't know yet. I haven't seen much of him. All I know is he scored a goal against us about 2 seasons ago. But we're linked with everyone, so I wouldn't get too excited.
Someone will outbid you, realistically.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I had to give Balthasar the Bundesliga, so who have you gone for?
So I've gone with Florian Wirtz. He's an attacking mid for by Leverkusen. He was also the first player in Bundesliga's history to score 5 goals before turning 18. So that's very impressive. I mean, Leverkusen, again, they're second at the moment. They're on form. He's played 4 matches in the Bundesliga, scored 3. He's played 1 match in the Europa League, scored 1. And in the DFB Pokal, he scored 1 and played 2 matches. And I think he's a phenomenal player and he's going to do well.
Germany's future for sure.
Mm.
The new Thomas Müller, a lot of people are saying.
Already having people big teams are kind of starting to approach him. Like Arsenal, again, linked to another person.
Yep.
Man U, Bayern Munich, and many more teams are interested in signing him.
Yeah, well, Bayern are going to get him next season, really.
Bayern will get him, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I, of course, given myself the hardest league. I've got the Serie A, the Italian league, and I've gone for Dusan Vlahovic. He's a Serbian striker who plays for Fiorentina. He's a striker, and he's scored 4 goals in 6 games. 2 of which have been penalties, I think.
The new Fernandes.
Last season, 37 games, 21 goals, 2 assists. You can't really argue with that. And then guess who he was linked with in the summer?
Yeah.
He was linked with us. Linked with Man City, Atletico and Juventus. And also Tottenham. His market value is £34 million. But I'm sure it's going to rise after this season.
Mm.
Like being 21 years old and scoring 21 goals in your debut season, you've got to be pretty good. So I don't know, we'll see. I think we're going to see a lot of this guy in the future. I think if he comes to a Prem team, he'll be like a Man City. And Pep could really develop him into one of his own strikers, like Ibrahimovic maybe. That'd be quite cool.
Anyway, yeah. Hope we're all going to be watching out for our players this weekend, and we'll come back to you next week as well, see how their performances.
Come back to you next week with how they performed and a new set of players.
And yeah, so next we're going to look at the Prem Weekend Review.
Brilliant weekend in the Premier League, and I think the highlight has to be Arsenal dominating Spurs, doesn't it?
You're absolutely buzzing after that match, aren't you, Joe?
I am buzzing.
You went to the match as well.
Incredible performance, electric atmosphere. It just couldn't be beaten. Tottenham, they just couldn't get it going. Near the end, last 10 minutes, there was a few scares. Ramsdale obviously probably doing one of the saves of the season.
Yeah.
To deny Lucas Moura from a goal. Of course, Son also getting a goal back for the Spurs, but you can't let any of that take anything away from Arsenal's performance that day.
I mean, Aubameyang back to his best, would you say?
I would. I would say that. That performance is prime Aubameyang right there. Coming back deep, dropping it into the midfield, playing it wide, getting forward with his pace. It was prime Aubameyang. And I don't think we could have played any better than we did. Charlie, what do you think?
Well, it was a pretty good game from Arsenal, obviously, but I was interested to see where it takes Arsenal next, like who they play next.
We've got Brighton.
They are quite high in the league, to be fair. Second, isn't it?
You slate Arsenal a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I do slate Arsenal a lot, but yeah. I mean,
to be given credit to Arsenal, they have sort of recovered it a bit from definitely the start of the
top
season.
Top half now.
Yeah.
They had a really bad first start, and now they're really starting to pick
really
it up.
A really bad first start.
I mean, they're already in front of Tottenham, aren't they, in the league?
Yeah, so the funny thing is, I think 3 weeks ago, Tottenham were top of the league and we were bottom of the league. We're now sitting above them in the league, and Tottenham are in the bottom half and we're in the top half. I mean,
shocking.
It's
so volatile, especially in the first bit of the season.
I know.
Everything can happen.
Well, it shows how interesting the season could be. Obviously, Brighton getting up there early and Arsenal already coming from bottom to top half. It shows that little separate the teams and it'll be a very interesting season.
Yeah.
One more thing about the game, though. I have to say, incredible how good our youngsters are and how brilliant the academy is at Arsenal. Like the likes of Smith-Rowe and Saka, incredible. Both getting goals on the weekend. Smith-Rowe getting an assist as well. It was lovely.
Pretty decent.
Yeah. So next game we got City edge past Chelsea.
So Leo. Yep.
How do you feel about this?
It's annoying.
Penalty as well.
Yeah, it's it's upsetting really, because I think we could have beaten them with the team we have, but I think City sort of found our weakness in this. They put two people on Lukaku, who's an excellent player who brings the play forward, and they just shut him down, so he couldn't really do that, which is sort of what has been sort of expected of Lukaku. He's going to be really, really good against perhaps the smaller team, but struggle a bit more with the larger teams and their quality defence.
And I think he's just got to get used to it, because I think he's in a transition stage where he's coming into the Premier League. And I mean, he's not going to be like the best player in the world straight away in his first match against a big club. So I reckon give him like in the next couple times he plays one of these big clubs in England, like United or a City or a Liverpool. I think give him a couple like games and then he'll really like dominate defenders and stuff. Yeah. Except you think Tuchel was playing a bit too defensive?
That might possibly have been the problem, not getting it forward enough to Lukaku. He only needed that one chance against the Yastlestones.
And our defence isn't the strongest in the league, definitely.
I mean, it is quite good.
It's good, but it's not the strongest. And I think if we've got such a good attacking team that we should use that to our advantage instead of relying on
but you also
decent defence.
I mean,
like
you also do need to be careful because you're playing Manchester City here. I mean, it's not like they have a bad attacking. They don't have bad attackers. They got good attackers. So you really do need to focus on defence a lot more. So I think Tuchel like focused too much on defence.
Did a bit of a Guardiola there, overthinking in the moment.
Yeah, and Guardiola didn't overthink it.
Yeah, Guardiola actually put in a very good managerial performance, getting that penalty, then just sitting back, not allowing anything to Lukaku. Really good tactics there from him.
And Diaz and Laporte absolutely shutting him down.
Great. And now we have Liverpool held by Brentford in probably game of the weekend. A 3-3 draw. Charlie, do you want to tell us about this game?
Well, yeah. Well, Brentford really showing their prowess against these big teams, like managing to just shut them down. It wasn't exactly like a goalless 3-3 as well.
That's high scoring.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I drive past that stadium every day and it was good to see that stadium being put to good use against such a big team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think hopefully Brentford could keep this going, maybe get a win. Like a win against a big club, but I don't think that will happen. But
I mean, they got a draw against Liverpool, so do you think they'll do relatively well this season, top half of the table?
Yeah, I think so.
Could they go for Europe? Or is that a bit too much?
I think there are six teams in England who might kind of take up those spots.
Yeah,
I mean there's seven now with the new addition of the Conference League, so
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, you've also got teams like Leicester who've had quite a slow start, but they could obviously still come back. And
they choked the last season.
They have choked. And, well, next game, we've mentioned it a bit. Yeah, Man U shocked by Villa, would you say? Late drama.
Man U losing it.
Courtney House, 88th minute, scoring for Villa. Header, of course. And then the penalty. Leo, you want to talk about the penalty for us?
Yeah, it's a shocker. He's not hit that well, that's for sure. Lots of conspiracy theories flying around that maybe he did it on purpose.
He didn't even do his run-up.
There's something going on. I think whether it's that they want Solskjaer out or something, you know, something's not right in this team.
Yeah, but if you have the chance to get a point in the Premier League in the 95th minute, you're taking it. Even if you want your manager out, you're going to take that penalty, you're going to score it. And if that is actually true and they want Solskjaer out and they've done that, that is horrible from United. It's shocking behaviour and all those players should be put away.
To be honest, I don't think it was on purpose because, I mean, they lost against Young Boys in the first round of the Champions League. And I kind of understand more about throwing the Prem because you've got a lot more games in the season.
Yeah.
But Champions League, you don't have that many games. And I just don't think this new team is clicking. I mean, Sancho's not performing.
Ronaldo was invisible.
Yeah, he played shocking.
First few games of the Prem, got to give him some time to adjust.
Lukaku?
Considering how well he's performed in the first two, three games, and now he's just, for the last two games, he's just...
Yeah, it's because Ollie, that's what I'm saying. It's the conspiracy theory is coming right back. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I guess the best way to get Solskjaer out is to lose in the Champions League, force a change.
I don't think Ronaldo will let that happen because he's gone to United to try and win something, not to throw like a league or something to lose a manager.
And that's true, yeah.
Ronaldo will go, is more professional than that.
And then lastly, I want to say Emi Martinez, I think, is the best keeper in the league.
Absolutely amazing weekend for him.
Keeping all those Man United chances out and letting Villa then get ahead there, get that one goal, and then obviously didn't have to do that much for the penalty, but I mean, if you saw it, he was kind of psyching Bruno out. He was talking to him, and then I don't know if you guys saw, after Bruno missed, he did a little dance in front of the United fans.
Ooh.
Which was
disrespectful.
Didn't make them too happy, but as an Arsenal fan, it's quite happy for me to see that.
Yeah.
Well, next up, we mentioned earlier as well, Leicester have not had the best season so far, and well, doesn't look too good after drawing with Burnley. Vardy with an own goal and a brace, so the perfect
two goals, in both nets.
Yeah, and Cornet, the new Burnley signing from Lyon, hit an incredible volley, top left corner. Very nice goal, and I think the main thing with Leicester is the defensive problems, losing Fofana so early in the season, and then Evans and Soyuncu, they're in and out the team. Also, Vestergaard, their new signing, hasn't really been able to get going.
Yeah.
The problems just keep stacking up and stacking up for the Foxes.
Who did they have last season in defence?
It was a Soyuncu and Evans partnership, and Fofana was mostly in there, actually, most of the season. Unfortunately, of course, getting injured. Then in a pre-season game, breaking his leg and getting injured again.
That's a tough one.
It's just sad to see. He's got so much talent and potential that it could all go to waste just through injuries. But another reason I say is Leicester, are they doing a Wolves? Of course, Wolves were in Europe only last season or two seasons ago. And now look at them now. Only won two games in the Prem so far this season. Mm. Currently sitting 15th. Losing the manager as well, Wolves.
Yeah. I mean, so like next match we got West Ham. They got the last minute winner against Leeds.
Antonio.
Yeah, what a goal,
it was a good goal. I took it, great feet, took it round the defender, and a great finish into the bottom right. And is Antonio the best player in the Prem right now?
Don't know why you put that there.
In terms of
obviously
form?
Obviously he is.
In terms of form right now, I don't see any player better than Antonio. And West Ham, even though in the harsh conditions of Leeds, they still managed to get the win. But Leeds haven't actually won a game this season.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time for Bielsa to go. Of course, he gets a lot of praise for being the manager he is, but is it time for him to go? Because his tactics are starting to get shut down by other managers, and maybe it's time for a change in the Leeds. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree, except who will go to Leeds and I replace him?
I don't know.
Anyone, really?
Sam Allardyce. Mm. They need someone to get them out of relegation.
Yeah.
All right, Leo, do you want to take us into the last game?
Yes, yeah, so looking at the Brighton versus Palace, leaving it quite late there. Missing an opportunity to go top of the league, though.
The malice at the Palace.
Yep. I mean, Malpay, his fourth of the season, 6 games, 4 goals for him. And Brighton, they had the chance there to go top for the first time in their history, be top in the top division of England, but it wasn't to be. And Palace, yet again, getting a decent result against a good team. Of course, beating Tottenham, who do we still consider Tottenham as a good team?
Shut up, James.
I don't think they are. I don't think they are.
They got some absolutely phenomenal players, and I think even if they're not on form, they're still a good team.
Yeah. But Palace, they've all their signings starting to come in now. The business looking very good, all the youngsters and everything. But I don't know. Well, is Vieira still the man for the job? He doesn't have much experience as a manager.
Yeah, so I think we'll finish up there, if that's all right. But I'd say thank you all for listening and to this week's Wissy of Outside the Box podcast. And next week, we will discuss our predictions and a new player to watch segment. And we also might review the Schumacher documentary, but we'll see you then. Thank you for listening.